Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the difficulties with interpreting Matthew 24 is the failure to understand what is being talked about. Now, in verses 15 through 28, the chief thing that is being spoken of is the coming destruction of Jerusalem. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus predicts the end of the national life of the Old Testament people of God, and he predicts the judgment and wrath of God falling upon that nation because they did not recognize the time of the gracious visitation of their Messiah. All right, so here, the chief thing that's being spoken of is the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD, all right? But at the same time, the destruction of Jerusalem, the coming of the judgment of God upon those who persist in their unbelief and impenitence is a picture and a sign and a precursor for all of us of what life will be like upon the whole face of the earth in the days leading up to the second coming of Christ. So while this passage is chiefly talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of Jerusalem is a miniature, if you will. It is a model of life in the last days of this world when Christ shall come. But it's not only that. So we got two things going on here. The destruction of Jerusalem, the time of the end just before the second coming of Christ. And then we have this, that while we are living in the in-between times, the Lord wants to show us, he wants to train us in how to deal with tribulations, with afflictions, and with cross-bearing while we live here and now. So, let's take a look at verses 15 through 18. It says, when ye, speaking to his disciples here, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and then Matthew says, whoso readeth, let him understand. All right. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. So what is Jesus teaching his disciples, the 12 apostles? He says, when you see the abomination of desolation take place, do not hesitate, do not quibble, do not concern yourself with your possessions or anything. Get out of there and do it fast, because wrath is going to be poured down upon that place and that city. Now, what is the abomination of desolation? It is something that takes place which desolates, or it makes it impossible to use the temple in Jerusalem for its proper purpose. Some kind of desecration or some kind of desolation of the temple would take place publicly. And when it took place, The disciples would know it's time to get out and flee to the mountains. We are not to hesitate. We are not to quibble. We are not to worry about our clothing or anything else. We are to take note of this. Remember Jesus' clear words of warning. And when we see this thing, get out of Dodge. All right? That's the way, that's the message here. All right? Now, this happened, by the way, in history. In history, when the temple was desecrated, before the siege was laid to the city of Jerusalem by the Roman armies, there was a desecration, a desolation that took place in the temple in Jerusalem. And when that happened, all of the Christians immediately remembered the Lord's words here written, and they got out of the city before the siege began. And they escaped into the mountains to the east, and they were saved from the utter destruction that took place in the year 70 AD. What does this have to do with us? It's a history lesson that shows us that God is serious about his judgment, and that God is also serious about the safety of his people, that we not be swept away in the judgment that falls upon the unbelieving. But this describes events that happen close to the end of the age. That is, close to the end of the world, before the Lord comes back, there will be a desecration of the church, and all true Christians will have to flee from the false counterfeit churches and flee to the churches where the true Word of God is, because that is where all spiritual safety takes place. Safety, just like the Christians fled to the mountains, so we Christians who are alive at the time of the end, we are to forsake the corrupt and counterfeit churches, of which there will be many, indeed most, and we will gather together in the wilderness if necessary with those who are steadfast in the word. And we will be preserved from the judgment falling upon the false and counterfeit churches who have the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So this passage teaches us to flee false churches and false doctrines. All right, so we see how this connects to the destruction of Jerusalem. We see how it connects to the end times, but what about now? What is this telling us now? All right, here in this life, even though we're not at the very end times yet, at least not that we know of, we nevertheless have to deal with tribulations, troubles, false teachers, heresies, cross-bearings, afflictions, persecutions, all of these things. And in this passage, we are told here, be steadfast in the word of Christ, because this is where your spiritual security lies. Your safety in every situation of life is in the word of God, which is your comfort, your stay, and your everything. All right, so in this, just as the Christians had the word of Jesus and they fled Jerusalem before the siege took place and were safe with other Christians in the mountains and were not swept away in the judgment, so it is with us. Though we are troubled by our temptations and tribulations and trouble, we are to cling to the word of Jesus, We are to gather together around that word and comfort one another in the truth of Jesus while the rest of the world does what it does. All right, now we move on to the second part. Verses 19 through 22. Woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. All right, so here we are told, to put it as briefly as I can, keep your eyes on the prize. All right? Here, the disciples were being told that the abomination of desolation was the sign that a great tribulation was coming upon that land. It would be so bad that no one would ever remember a time that was worse than this time. And Jesus himself says about those days, if they hadn't been shortened, no flesh would have been saved. No one would have survived if the days hadn't been shortened. But he says, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Even in a time of great wrath and judgment from the Lord, he always remembers his mercy. And so here he is describing a horrific period of a time of suffering and trouble, so bad that no one can remember anything ever being as bad as this. And yet at the same time, he says to his people, who have fled and who have difficulties because of their fleeing, he remembers to remind them, pray ye that your flight be not in winter or on the Sabbath day. In other words, he describes this terrible judgment coming upon the world, but then he tells his own people, continue to pray because God's ears are open to the prayers of his faithful people. And while he may be angry with the world in its unbelief and impenitence, he is ever delighted with his elect, with his chosen ones. And so he says, even those days of wrath and punishment will be shortened for the sake of the elect. So even with this terrible earthly punishment that is coming upon people, God remembers his mercy. God remembers his own people, his own chosen people, and he shortens the days of wrath and judgment for the sake of his elect. And so here, when we have trouble, when we can't see the solution to our problems and our troubles, we are not to give up in despair. We are not to think that God has forsaken us and that there is no hope for us. Even when things look as black as they can possibly be, we are not to give up hope. Why? Because it shows us here that we can keep our eyes on the good news. We can keep our eyes on the gospel of Jesus. We are reminded here that even in the midst of terrible judgments, there is mercy for those who trust in Christ, and therefore we are to keep our eyes on the prize. Now, this also applies to the end of the world and that time when Christians are persecuted and the world seems to be coming apart at the seams, and we can't imagine things getting any worse, and yet every day it gets worse and worse and worse. And we are to remember what Jesus said to his disciples about the last day. He says, when you see all these things begin to come to pass, he doesn't say give up in despair and hide under a rock. He says, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So when the world is falling apart, we Christians can look up and anticipate the coming of our final redemption. It is for us a time of victory. And therefore, when we think of this, we can keep our eyes on the prize. And so it is in our daily life, dealing with the ordinary tribulations of life. Sometimes we don't know why things are happening, what's going on. We get frightened, we become uncertain, we wonder, where is God, why isn't he helping? All of these things, here we remember, don't let circumstances dictate to you how you are to think and feel, but allow the Word of God to remind you that even in the midst of trouble, God has not forsaken his people, but he indeed will help. And there will be a time when we look back on our troubles and we celebrate God's mighty deliverance. All right, last thing today, verse 23 to 28. He says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. All right. So he says, one of the things that attended the destruction of Jerusalem was the rising of many false Christs and false teachers, which led people away from the gospel of Christ, the real Christ, and led them to cling to some messianic fanaticism that had nothing to do with Jesus. And these people all ended up getting swept away in the wrath and the judgment of God when the Romans destroyed the city and the sanctuary. So Jesus is here saying, don't listen to false prophets. Even if they do miracles, do not listen to them. There is such a thing as false signs and wonders. They look like genuine miracles. It looks like something that could deceive, if it were possible, even the very elect of God. Don't be deceived, all right? False teachers who do miracles are still false teachers and must be avoided at every cost. False Christs, false prophets, false miracles. Jesus is saying to us, don't listen to it. Stick with my word. And so if they say to you, he's in the desert, come on with us, we're going out to the desert, don't go. He said, oh no, he's in the inner chambers, come with us. We have a hidey hole in the inner chambers of the city. There he is and you will find him. Do not believe it, Jesus says. Why? And he says why. He says, for, you know what the coming of the Son, when I really return, do you know what it's going to be like? It's going to be like the lightning shining from the east and going over all the way to the west. When I come, nobody will be telling you, you missed it. He's in the desert. He's in the inner chambers. No. When I really come back, everyone will know it and nobody will miss it. My coming will be obvious to everyone. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. All right? This is what the word of God tells us. So, the disciples are not to be misled by false Christs leading people to their own destruction by going out into the desert or by going into the inner chambers to see the so-called Messiah. No, Jesus says, when I come back, there won't be any question about whether I've come back or not. Everyone will see it. Everyone will know it. And that's what he means when he says, wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. He says, so you're out there walking in the open field, and over in the distance you see a bunch of birds circling, right? What do you know without being told? There's a dead body down there, right? That's what Jesus is saying. He's just repeating the thing about the lightning. When you see the lightning shine from the east to the west, you know the Son of Man has come. It'll be obvious that the Son of Man has come. When I come, it'll be obvious. The same thing here with this passage. Wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. You see eagles circling, you know there's a dead body somewhere down there. You don't have to be told. You don't have to trip over it to discover it. You know that there is one because it's obvious. So the second coming of Christ will be obvious, and you should not, even miracle-working false Christ, you shall not listen to them, you shall not heed them. So it is with us today. As we go through, we have something that never changes. We have something that is clear. We have something that is by which Jesus himself manifests himself, and that is his word and his holy sacraments. Let us be content with them and not be misled by false Christs, false teachers, false miracles to our own destruction. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.